Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Monday, March the 20th, and I am your host, Austin Peterson. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. This is the audio podcast version that we record on Facebook Live, and then we upload this over to our podcast settings. So if you're listening to us later on iTunes or on Stitcher, thank you very much. If you're a Freedom Report listener to our live streams on Facebook, but you want to be able to get these later, then you can subscribe to the Freedom Report podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. So check that out. If you want to listen to us in the car later, if you want to download us and be able to enjoy these anytime you like, then you can get the Freedom Report audio podcasts in the car. So you can check that out at iTunes or on Stitcher. Just go to iTunes.com or Stitcher if you have an Android app, and you can get our information over there. So yeah, so today we've got a big topic. Obviously, this is big in conservative circles and libertarian circles, the question of what's been going down between Glenn Beck and Tommy Lahren. And I've been listening to the Blaze Radio this morning, where Glenn has sort of danced around the subject a bit. They did have a full-throated discussion about the most recent controversy with their star host, Tommy Lahren. And it's centered around the question of abortion, which has been a big issue in libertarian circles as well. It's been a very big issue because there was what they're calling it Themegate, which was the question of what should be the theme of the new Libertarian Party convention, which is the question of should it be pro-choice on everything, right? That this is an old Libertarian party phrase. It's been going around since the 1980s. But the question of what should be the Libertarian Party's new convention for their convention theme for next year's big event in Louisiana, it was one of the big proposals was pro-choice on everything, and this caused a big stir, but especially people like myself who considers themselves pro-life, and the big hullabaloo was that we all thought that this was being pushed as a way to sort of isolate the pro-life libertarians in the Libertarian Party. And because the way that they were doing the voting was that it was a dollar vote. You say, hey, it's a dollar. If you want to vote for the convention theme, a dollar a vote, you can vote for pro-choice on everything, or you can say build bridges, not walls. And I mean, build bridges, not walls is controversial in itself for libertarians because, you know, we're not big fans of government spending on infrastructure either, right? This is who will build the roads, right? Like, build bridges, not walls. It kind of, if you think pro-choice on everything is controversial, then build bridges, not walls. Excuse me. Well, that's just as controversial for libertarians because, again, we're not big fans of the government and spending on infrastructure, which just makes, conservatives and liberals upset. But abortion big in the news because Tommy Lahren came and she went on The View, which is, that sort of like weirdo talk show that's mostly liberal ladies sitting around bitching at each other. And the question came up about whether or not Tommy was pro-life or pro-choice. Now, she did have a little bit of a slip up there for what she said, which I thought was interesting. And I'm going to actually read to you some transcripts and some of these articles that I've got. Julie Borowski weighed in. I'm going to have her viewpoint on this as well. And I thought you all would enjoy a titillating discussion on this question. So this is from Mediaite this morning. And I'm just going to read this to you. On Monday, Glenn Beck took to his radio program to address the growing tensions between Tommy Lahren and his organization, The Blaze. Quote, if you're pro-choice, you can have a job at The Blaze. I don't hire people who are sycophants, said Beck. I try to hire people who have a different opinion. I don't want straw men. Beck also responded to allegations that Lahren's time at the company was drawing to a close. Quote, the Blaze cannot be about me, 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 said Beck. It's no secret that Tommy and I don't agree on quite a lot, but that is about personalities. Beck suggested that Lahren had flipped on abortion for opportunistic reasons, playing clips where she seemingly had been pro-life. Quote, the ideas are important, said Beck. If you can't defend the idea, that leads to the second part of the discussion, which is the people calling for Tommy to be fired. Beck, however, declined to make any dramatic on-air announcements, saying, quote, "That's not appropriate to be discussed on the radio," said Beck. "That's in the privacy of the office of the Blaze." And that's true. It's very difficult to talk about your employees as an employer like that. Very, very difficult. And you want to be very careful when you do things like that, because, of course, you know, you could open yourself up to all kinds of litigation and lawsuits and things like that. You know, and I totally sympathize with Glenn Beck about this. I absolutely sympathize, especially as a libertarian, because there is such a dearth of opinions about you know, what it means to be a libertarian. Does it mean pro-life? Does it mean pro-choice? I would argue that a small majority of libertarians, maybe, you know, slightly over 50% of libertarians, tend to be pro-choice. You know, I don't fall in that camp, but I do give credence to their arguments, which is a similar argument to what Tommy had brought up in her interview on The View, which was that she was saying specifically that she thought that, well, she thought that it was a bodily autonomy issue, right? But the problem was that she was calling conservatives hypocrites, essentially, saying that, you know, they don't want government involved in anything, but when it comes to a woman's body, well, then they want the government involved. And she had kind of a dumb quote that I'm going to read to you in just a minute. That's, I mean, she's got a lot of dumb quotes, but this is one of the dumber ones. And there was a fantastic article that Glenn actually retweeted that was criticizing Glenn. The name of this article is "This Tommy Lahren Experiment Was a Real Bad Idea" by Peter Heck. And I mean, ooh, you talk about blaze. I mean, this is blazing. I mean, the anger was it was definitely visceral, that you could read in Peter Heck's article here, that I just want to share with you all because I think it's fantastic. I'll get into my own personal criticisms of Tommy here in just a few minutes, but I want to make sure that I offer a pretty wide range of viewpoints on this. And so I'm going to share this article with you because I think this is probably the best written critical article. And again, Glenn Beck shared it on his own Twitter page. Actually, you know, just to brag for a minute, Glenn Beck also shared the Libertarian Republic story on Tommy Lahren. I think that was written by Cody Fairfield. If it was Cody, then congratulations. If it wasn't, then whoever the TLR writer that published that, congratulations, because Glenn Beck tweeted you last night, and so now you is famous. This article, "This Tommy Lahren Experiment Was a Real Bad Idea" by Peter Heck, says, "There's a reason why it usually doesn't end well when a kid goes straight from a life of a party and privilege to the bright lights of a professional sports career. They have no clue how to handle the responsibility and fame." Boy, isn't that true. They just look at the fall of Johnny Manziel. There's a reason why it usually doesn't end well when someone mired in unemployed poverty wins the lottery and lands in the lap of luxury. That's true. Have you heard about all of these lottery winners? You know, they win all this money, they're broke. You know, some of them are even homeless people, and they win all this money in the lottery, and then they're broke just like a year later. "And then there's a reason why it usually doesn't end well when someone who lacks any meaningful or serious understanding of political philosophy and ideology is thrust in front of a camera and promoted as a conservative spokesman. They are pitifully unprepared to exercise the disciplines of reason and discernment. Just look at the sorry spectacle of Tommy Lahren. In a culture that bizarrely worships youth and beauty, it is unsurprising that Lahren's rise to fame has been meteoric. And make no mistake, Tommy has certainly demonstrated a talent for increasing her notoriety with provocative commentaries timed to coincide with significant national controversies. Her prolific use of social media has propelled her to over 664,000 followers on Twitter and earned her invitations onto numerous television news and commentary programs." And I'm going to pause here for just a minute before I continue, because, you know, there's obviously a market. There's a market for this, right? There's a market for what Tommy does. And I've known this for a long time. You know, I work in in production, right? I work on editor-in-chief is busting in here, posting as me on my live stream. Cody is saying it was Micah Fleck. Micah Fleck wrote the Libertarian Republic article, so sorry about that. Micah Fleck gets the kudos and the credit for that one. Sorry. Cody, don't comment as me on my feed. People think it's me. Come on, guy. Come on. Switch it over. Anyways, moving on. Before I finish this piece here, I just want to say, you know, there's a market for this. I mean, that's the thing. This is why I think in some ways the country's going to hell in a handbasket, is because people don't give a damn what you say, right? It's about how you say it. I tried to explain this to the libertarians during my presidential campaign, because I tried to explain to them, I'm like, it's not so much What you say is how you say it. Obviously, if you say what is Aleppo, they're going to think you're an idiot. But if Gary Johnson was a, you know, a beautiful 35-year-old blonde woman, they would say, oh, she just had a blonde moment, and the women on The View would have defended her because she's a woman, and then all of the hordes of male fans would have been like, oh, it was an accident. But since, you know, Gary's a crusty old geezery guy, then, you know, they're not going to defend him because that's just what it is. People value your looks more than they value the content of what you have to say. That's just the reality. You know, I worked at Fox Business Network for years. You know, they would get these, you know, hot young talents who are really just glorified teleprompter readers, you know, put them in front of the teleprompter and, you know, and put them in a cute dress. And that's then boom, you're a television star. That's how it works. And meanwhile, you would see a lot of, you know, talented young men, maybe meant talented people who won't ever, you know, their careers aren't really ever going to take off necessarily because they aren't attractive for television, right? So that's what television is. It's a visual medium. And that's why, you know, they say, oh, he's got a face for radio. I mean, it's not always the rule. There's always exceptions to the rule. I mean, I don't want to call him out, but okay, I won't call him out. But there are some talents on Fox who are, you know, maybe my age, maybe even a little bit older. And, you know, they're a little chubby, right? They're guys. But the thing is that they have to work five times as hard in that industry. Because it's much more, you know, if you're a man and if you're a chubby dude, if you're a chubby white guy, you're going to have a harder time in this industry. You just are, right? You're just not, you know, I maybe I don't want to talk about myself because, you know, I've got my, excuse me, I'm still getting over my bronchitis. I'm sure there's lots of reasons why I haven't been a successful, like, television star or something like that, right? Maybe, you know, I haven't really gone for it so much. But, I mean, you know, if I was an attractive young blonde woman, I may have gotten some jobs that I wouldn't have gotten before. But that's how it is. And that explains the rise of Tommy Lahren. I mean, and that's why you see all of these bros come in and they jump to defend her. And I actually posted an article about Tommy Lahren saying that she was pro-choice in her fan group just to say, hey, what do you guys think of this? And one, they're like, fake news. It's fake news. Anything they don't like, they disagree with. If they disagree with it, it's fake news. And then two, it's the question you know, they're going to make up any excuse to defend her. It doesn't matter what she says. You're just going to have a group of people who are going to say, well, and what really just irked me is that they're like, oh, well, this is the conservative position. No, and Dana Loesch was right when she was on The Blaze this morning. She was saying, no, actually, the pro-life view of things is the conservative position. And I would agree with that. You know, I'm a libertarian, and I understand that libertarianism has a debate about it. But I would say that in conservatism, no, there really isn't a debate about whether or not you're pro-life or pro-choice. So the pro-life position is the conservative position. I just happen, even though I'm not a conservative, quote unquote, I happen to agree with conservatives on that issue. And it's not for any particular reason other than the fact that I think it's about life. It's about the question of the child. But anyways, I'm getting off topic. Let's get back to it. Somebody's in my live stream. Linda Finken tells me to get on point, right? So I'm getting back on there. Sorry, Linda. If gaining popularity and getting your face on TV were the primary objectives of conservatism, she would be a rock star. But since the movement has always been about the supremacy of our ideas, it's what she says on TV that matters most. And that's the great danger of this emerging movement of pop culture, quote, conservatism, driven by followers and web traffic rather than principles. It's only a matter of time before it casually defecates in the right's dinner plate with the whole country watching. Friday, on the obnoxious ABC Gabfest The View, Tommy Lahren did just that. Quote, I'm pro-choice, and here's why. I am a constitutional, you know, someone that loves the Constitution. I'm someone that's for limited government. So I can't sit here and be a hypocrite and say I'm for limited government, but I think the government should decide what women do with their bodies. I can sit here and say that as a Republican, and I can say that, you know what, I'm for limited government, so stay out of my guns, and you can stay out of my body as well. End quote. This is so mindlessly incoherent that Glenn Beck should be humiliated he has given this poser such a platform of prominence. Not just because he's promoted someone who finds it morally acceptable to kill children for convenience, though that's plenty good enough, but because she demonstrates such a childish misunderstanding of natural law and constitutional theory. All right, okay, so let me pause here for just a moment. Again, I want to say, I know you guys, some people get mad, I get on track, but I just want to say, you know, it's funny, she says, I'm a constitutional, and she stopped. I think she didn't want to say that she was a conservative. I think that she kind of stopped herself. I wonder if she's a little bit worried there. I mean, you can ascribe any manner of motives to why she did that, you know? So I have misspoken. I've said some stuff when I'm in the spur of the moment on interviews that I didn't mean. You know, it's very easy to make little mistakes when you're live and you've got, you know, no options, especially when you're on The View or something like that. And again, Tommy Lahren has really mostly been reading off of a teleprompter. So I don't know that her opinions are hers. And the reason why I think that is because she stated explicitly that she doesn't read books. She doesn't get her opinions from books. And so if you're not reading books and if you're not getting a large, you know, a wide, you know, variety of viewpoints like that, then you're not, you can't, it's very difficult to have any kind of an ideological underpinning for what it is that you're saying, you know, what it is that you believe. And that's really the question is, you know, what does Tommy Lahren really have a philosophy other than I'm a Republican and I like to criticize liberals? Right, you're not a conservative or a libertarian just because you hate liberals. Okay, there's more to being a conservative and more to being a libertarian than just hating social democrats and fighting with Antifa and, you know, hitting communists over the head with sticks. As much as we love base stick man, there's just more to it. There's a philosophy, and I know that snoops of that does tend to lean into what we call elitism, right? And I have many libertarian friends who've never read Hayek, they've never read Mises. You know, they haven't gone to seminars and things like that. They haven't gone to Cato Institute and listened to seminars. But they understand the concepts of libertarianism. So you can't say completely that, oh, just because you don't read books, you don't know. That's just a way for us to kind of be snobby and to look down on people, right? I mean, I think that it is important. There are absolutely arguments to be made, you know, that you, if you want to be an intellectual, if you want to have a strong opinion, if you want your opinions to be taken seriously, then you want to have an intellectual underpinning. But if you just want to be famous and you want to have a million Facebook fans, followers, and make, you know, good money doing it, well, trust me, like if I had as many followers as Tommy on Instagram or on Twitter or on Facebook, I would be very, very wealthy right now instead of, you know, scrabbling to like get bills paid, you know, make sure my employers are paid and things like that. I wouldn't have to work as hard. That would be fantastic. So I can't lie and tell you that I have not been tempted at some times to just make crap up. I've always held back. I've always held back from it because I'm just like, oh, the financial interest in generating quote unquote fake news or alternative facts or just bashing on liberals and saying things that I know that everybody's going to agree with me on, the temptation is severe. But I've held back because I you see what happens is that you spin off the rails. You end up being like Milo, right? You get Milo'd, for example, or you end up being like Tommy Lahren. And now I think that she's embroiled in this controversy. Well, it looks like Glenn Beck is taking a mature approach, but the conservatives, the true conservatives, like the guy who wrote Peter Heck, who's writing this article at The Resurgent, they're not going to let you get away with it. I mean, you've seen what has happened with the Twitter account, the Reagan Battalion guys. If you have not seen the Reagan Battalion Twitter, woo, they do not screw around, man. Those conservatives are serious. So you've got to, if you don't follow the Reagan Battalion, check them out, because they're going to hold people like Tommy Lahren, they're accountable, right? They, you know, certainly people held me accountable during my presidential run. All right, so back on topic. For someone who just 3 months ago fumed how abortion was murder, Lahren has not just experienced second thoughts. She has now apparently arrived at the startling conclusion that limited government means not stopping someone from killing someone else. If Lahren is so worried about being a hypocrite, perhaps she should use one of her popular final thought segments to explain why she wants government to tell other people they can't kill her, but demands that same government not tell her she can't kill her baby. This isn't reason, it's stupidity on steroids. The great conservatives have always understood that the intrinsic worth of the individual was the foundation point of all we believe and espouse. Without the right to life, there is no liberty, and there is no happiness to pursue. So here's a suggestion for all parties involved. Tommy Lahren, take some time away from the camera. Read and learn what conservatism is, and decide if that's what you are or what you want to be. Glenn Beck, you spent an election cycle critical of anyone on the right that pretended Trump's incoherent populism was actually conservatism. Will you permit the Blaze to continue pretending Tommy's incoherent populism is? Ooh. Conservatives, let's stop mimicking the leftist cult of personality approach that embraces whatever is considered trendy, young, and envelope pushing. Instead, let's again be known for the power of our ideas, rather than two-minute YouTube power rants by immature minds. I refuse to believe that Tommy Lahren is the future of conservatism in America, because if she is, conservatism has no future here. Very good. Very fantastic piece by Peter Heck over at The Resurgent. I'll go ahead and drop this in the comment section so that you guys can read it if you want to read that later. And thank you so very much for listening. Now, that was the conservative view on what Tommy Lahren had to say. But what about the libertarian view? And again, I'm biased because I'm a huge fan of Julie Borowski. And Tyler O'Neill over at PJ Media has written an article as well that he's broken down Julie Borowski's pieces. So thank you very much, Julie Borowski, for weighing in on this. Again, I happen to agree with Julie Borowski. I happen to agree with the conservative Peter Heck on this question about life. So I just want to make sure I get that out there. You know, again, I'm biased. So Tyler O'Neill writes, on Friday, conservative pundit Tommy Lahren declared she's pro-choice because she says, you know what she said, blah, blah, blah. Libertarian YouTube star Julie Borowski shot down this argument in less than 2 minutes. Uh-oh, Julie Borowski is that two-minute YouTube star. But Julie Borowski isn't an intellectual. She's not like Julie. Julie has read books. Quote, it is not hypocritical for limited government people to be legally pro-life, Borowski declared. We do not advocate for a society where people can do whatever they want. In her classic sarcastic style, the YouTube star mocked the view that libertarians have to support an anarchic society without any limits on human freedom. Quote, murder, theft, rape, go for it, liberty. The libertarian response to this would be, no, these things would still be illegal for good reason. Borowski laid out the non-aggression principle. The key question is, quote, is there a victim? With abortion, pro-life people would say, yes, there is a victim, the fetus. Therefore, it's not hypocritical to call for laws against abortion. She scathingly added, to suggest otherwise means that you either think the fetus is not a victim, or you fundamentally misunderstand the concept of liberty. Ouch. The victim is still in another person's body, but he or she is still a human being with the right to life. That's in the Constitution, the YouTube star explained. It's only hypocritical to call for more government bans when there are no victims. Drugs and prostitution, I don't personally like those things. I think they're disgusting. But people have the liberty to put whatever they want and do God knows what to their own bodies. Thank you, Julie. Abortion is not a victimless crime, and that is Borowski's point. The YouTube star acknowledged that outlawing abortion would be difficult, but the point of this short video is that Tommy Lahren is incorrect. It is not hypocritical for libertarians to be pro-life, so long as genetics suggests a fetus is a human being, which it does. It might even be hypocritical for a libertarian who champions the right to life to be pro-choice. Wouldn't that be ironic? And that's Julie Borowski's viewpoint on why pro-life conservatives or pro-life libertarians are not hypocrites, because we do see it as a human being. We see it as a life. And that's the thing. So the problem, of course, with Tommy Lahren, again, this is just my own viewpoints, is that she represents the sort of mass stupidity that's been going on. I think in the conservative movement, and certainly there are some libertarians who are tempted by the sort of alt-right populism that Tommy represents. I mean, there's just always been like the populist masses, and Glenn Beck and Dana Lash were talking about this morning. They were talking about, you know, populism and unhinged populism, and Glenn Beck asked Dana, "What do you think about populism?" And Dana was very hesitant. She was like, well, you know, I like populism in little doses, right? But that was the thing, right? When you let the cat out of the bag, it becomes a double-edged sword. Because populism is not intellectualism. Populism is just whatever the people want, right? And this is libertarians. This terrifies us, right? As conservatives, like conservatives will use populism when it agrees with them. Liberals will use populism when it agrees with them. And then they want elitism when it doesn't, right? Well, everybody kind of has that. But the thing is if you have a consistent philosophy, which Tommy obviously does not, and which her followers, many of her followers do not as well, They, if you do not have a consistent philosophy, then you're just going to go along with whatever Tommy says, right? You're engaging in a cult of personality, or, you know, you're going to go along with what just, you know, even Glenn Beck says, or you may even be an Austin Peterson sycophant, which I, again, I repeatedly do not encourage, you know, fact check my alternative facts with the, with your fake news analysis, right? I'm perfectly fine with that. But the thing is that you have to be willing to change your mind. You have to be willing to open your mind up to new opinions. And I'll say this, I did that with abortion. I think it was about 5-6 years ago, way before I ever considered running for office, where I had a change of heart on abortion. I considered myself pro-choice. And it was through the process of educating myself, through the process of reading books, through the process of going to conferences and studying and questioning my beliefs, what I truly believe, that I came to the conclusion that the only logical position for someone who believed in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is that you should be pro-life. And the people will always say, well, Austin, it comes down to the question of when do you believe life begins, you know, when, like, at what point, right? And I posted this the other day on Twitter where I said, well, liberals like to argue that if we ever found a single cell on Mars, that would be evidence of life. Right, so, but they won't turn around and apply that logic to a clump of cells inside the human body. That's not evidence of life. Because I think it's wrong. I think it's intellectually inconsistent to argue that that is not a life. I think it is a life. And again, I don't know. The truth is that I don't know when life really begins. I assume it's at conception, but I'm not a scientist. I have to make the best judgment that I can based on the information that I have and based on my own capacity for understanding. And I think that if you're going to make a mistake, if you're going to err, you should err on the side of life. And we should not be using abortion as birth control. That's why we have birth control. Now, I always argue for non-coercive measures to say, hey, I believe that we should do things like legalize birth control over the counter. That would be a non-coercive way for us to statistically reduce the amount of abortions. Now, a lot of conservatives aren't going to like that. One, because we're talking about ending the war on drugs here, essentially, allowing women to make choices with their own bodies in a sense, right? Like, in a sense, so you're talking about really being pro-choice. You should be able to choose to buy birth control over the counter, right? You should be able to do that. And that is the kind of thing that gets people up in arms. Libertarians will say, thank you, Austin. Yes, this is the kind of pro-life rhetoric we want to hear. But some conservatives are going to be upset with that. Some conservatives are against birth control even. I mean, that's the really hardcores. Not all conservatives are against birth control, right? I'm trying to be intellectually honest here. But I think that if we want to reduce the amount of abortions, we should look for these kinds of non-coercive measures. Because the thing is that we're going to have to create, before we can ever do what Julie Borowski says and talk about laws for abortion, we're going to have to create a culture of life. We have to win the moral argument as pro-lifers. We have to win the moral argument first in the United States, because I think that pro-lifers at this point in the United States, we're probably a minority, just like in the Libertarian Party. We're probably a minority. We're probably a very slim minority, but we're probably a minority. And that's why Roe versus Wade is the law of the land. That's why most presidents don't do anything about abortion. I mean, you haven't heard Donald Trump say a word about abortion since he's become president of the United States, right? And that's for good reason, because Donald Trump is a populist, and Donald Trump is not going to push policy that will anger anyone. He doesn't want to do that. And that's what populism is all about. That's what Tommy Lahren and her audience are all about. That's what it is. It's about populism. It's not about intellectual conservatism. That's why so many conservatives didn't support Donald Trump, is because excuse me, sorry, the bronchitis still got me. But that's the issue there, is that it's about populism. It's not about intellectualism. But we, as people who believe in ideas, we libertarians, we conservatives, we true liberals, the people who believe in hard concepts based in our intellectual capacity for understanding, we have got to educate our fellow Americans on this. And we are fighting an uphill battle, because look at Tommy Lahren. I mean, she's popular not because she really represents any true beliefs and or any true viewpoints, but because she says what she thinks will get her the most amount of views on YouTube, the most amount of views on The Blaze, right? That's what Dana Loesch said this morning, which I think is a terrific quote. Dana Loesch says that there is a difference between industry conservatism and intellectual conservatism. very true. Industry conservatism and intellectual conservatism. Industry conservatism is how to make money being a conservative. Intellectual conservatism is how to advance conservative ideas. And there's that can even apply to libertarianism as well. There's industry libertarianism, and then there's intellectual libertarianism. And, you know, if you're somebody like perhaps Stefan Molyneux, for example, you're going to change your viewpoints. You're going to change your viewpoints on things, maybe not necessarily because it's true, but because it's popular, because you know, you have emotional problems with libertarians. Maybe you got picked on by the libertarian kids too much, and you're just like, screw this movement, I'm out, right? Like, well, that's more of a business move, right? Alex Jones supporting Donald Trump was a business move. It wasn't an intellectual move. There's no intellect at InfoWars or Prison Planet. So you obviously there's not going to be an intellectual move there. It's all about money. It's about money, 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 money. And I'll tell you what, it would be, I know what works in this business. I do this for a living too. I'm in this industry. So I know that if I just went out and started bashing Black Lives Matter and Antifa and worshiped at the throne of Trump, I would make a lot more money. So it's a real difficult pull, ladies and gentlemen, because if you look at it, industry conservatism versus intellectual conservatism, then we as the intellectuals are fighting an uphill battle. And you know what? Sometimes I think you got to fight fire with fire. You know, that's why I think it's important for people like Julie Borowski, who is a beautiful young lady, to go out there and fight for her principles, for our principles, for my principles, for what I believe in. I mean, I think Julie Borowski represents us almost better than anybody. I mean, I know that everybody has like a little bit of flavor to them, right? So some people may not like Julie Borowski, but they may like me better, right? Some people may not like me, but they like, you know, Jeffrey Tucker. Some people may not like Jeffrey Tucker, but they like Eric July, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's really what it is we're going to need a panoply of good libertarian intellectuals to go out and spread the ideas of liberty, because if we don't, then we're always going to be taken over by the industry libertarians, the ones who don't care, the ones who are going to use us and use our message and skew it to their own agenda. I mean, think about it. You've got this other website, The Liberty Conservative, for example, and they had a mass exodus of writers because the true intellectual conservatives left. The true intellectual conservatives left. Now all of you got a bunch of neo-Confederates and associated, you know, Trump humpers. And that's because it's much more popular. It's much more palatable to the mainstream to do that, right? And that's why it's much more difficult to hew to your principles, because sometimes if you hew to your principles, it's not popular. But what's right is not always what's popular, and what's popular is not always what's right. And that's why we have to resist populism in many ways and stay true to our intellectual roots. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. As always, you can always find us on iTunes or Stitcher. You can find us at iTunes. Just type in the Freedom Report. Look up the podcast. You can get us later. Or you can find us, if you've got an Android phone, you can go to Stitcher, Stitcher. You can subscribe to us there. It's called the Freedom Report podcast. And if you like the show, do us a favor. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. And a written review would be even better. And as usual, you can find my Liberty merch, the AP collection, at threadsofliberty.com, where you can get your Make Taxation Theft Again hat over at threadsofliberty.com. You can get your shirt that says, I want to live in a world where gay married couples can defend their marijuana fields with fully automatic machine guns. That's at threadsofliberty.com. Big travel schedule coming up, ladies and gentlemen. I am coming to a town near you. Liberty is more popular than we ever imagined, because I'll tell you, this weekend I'm going to be in Colorado. I will be in Denver. Check me out. This weekend I'll be at the Libertarian Party of Colorado's convention. Oh my gosh, guys, I have got some really exciting news for you all. I have got some really exciting news, but you can't have it yet. I got to tease you. I've got two big, exciting bombshells to drop on you very soon. So keep listening to the Freedom Report podcast, or watch my Facebook page like you do, because I will be dropping some really cool news. And so keep your eyes over here, because we've got some really exciting things coming up. Again, this weekend I will be in Colorado. I just booked my flight. I'm going to be in Los Angeles on the Rubin Report. I know you guys are big fans of Dave Rubin. So you're going to get to see me on the Dave Rubin show, and I will be in Los Angeles from the 3rd to the 6th. Also might be meeting with apparently I have some movie, like television star guy who's a big fan of mine. I had never heard of him because I didn't watch the show Supernatural, but then I heard he was in The Big Lebowski, and I was kind of like, wow, this guy is cool. And I looked him up. He's pretty amazing. Mark Pellegrino of the American Capitalist Party. He and I have been, you know, chatting back and forth on Twitter. Apparently we share a lot of views. So it looks like I'll be hanging out with Mark Pellegrino. Hopefully we can maybe do an event together, something you guys can come out. So anyway, so check out the Rubin Report while I'm in LA. I'll be in Colorado this weekend. Swarthmore University in Pennsylvania on March 30th. 10 days from now, I'll be at Swarthmore College in PA. Check the event page on my Facebook page right now. If you're listening to me right now, you can find this on my event page. Just click on the tab over there. It says events, and you can find my event at Swarthmore University. Then on April 1st, just the next day, I will be over there at the Mid-Atlantic Liberty Festival at the Hilton Harrisburg Hotel. Very exciting. And all right, crikey, I'm going to be speaking in Australia. Check me out in Austin in Australia at the Ariel UTS Function Center. That's on April 28th. And then, of course, we've got the Freedom Ninja Reunion on June 2nd at Stonegate Farm in Kansas City, Missouri. Austin Peterson will be having a reunion of my supporters. So if you guys want to, if you can make it to Kansas City, we'd love to have you there. We're going to have a big barbecue. Lots of exciting news for you guys coming up. I really appreciate that you all are listeners, loyal listeners. Again, don't forget to check out threadsofliberty.com. Get yourself a cool hat and hope to see you at one of these events coming up this week. I'm on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Have a good day, guys. Stay free. Thanks, man.